Peace of the Lord be with you. Welcome to the second to last Friday of the school year. Woo! I want to give a special thank you to our beloved Hugh Lewis on the organ this morning. It was lovely. Thank you so much. I also want to welcome those of you who are visiting Hope College and thinking about making Hope College your home. We want to welcome you as well. This is a good place to be, the soil of hope. It's my great privilege, this honor, to introduce a man at Hope College that needs no real introduction. He is a man who has served with distinction and with grace, a job that for most of us we just couldn't do because it has to navigate so much people coming to you and needing things and asking, so much heavy lifting and administration. You may not know what a provost is or what a provost looks like, but when I think of a provost, I can't think of anyone else other than James Bulkins. He has been a provost for 25 years, and 8 of those years he has served here at Hope College, his beloved alma mater. And he has taught me so much about integrity, consistency, wisdom, and it has just been an incredible privilege and joy to serve with him at Hope College. This is his last chapel speaking here among us as the provost, as the chief academic officer at Hope College. And would you please give a warm and passionate welcome to our beloved provost, Jim Bulkins.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks. Appreciate it. Very kind of you. Gotta stop. The clock is running. Thank you. You're very kind. Provosts usually don't get applause like that, so I'm really grateful for it. And it's kind of you to come this morning. My thanks to Hugh, too. See me, you get Hugh and the Skinner, because that is one of the jewels of Hope College, and you need to appreciate it and enjoy it, too. It's one of my favorites, and I love this place. There's nothing quite like standing up here and looking at the rose window. Dimnit is one of my favorite places. This morning, I'd like to just share a few minutes with you, tell you about my story and how God has worked in my life to do things that I never could have done on my own. I want you to know that the things I share this morning are not about me, but what I want you to see is God's faithfulness, and that if you trust him, that he will allow you to do things you might never do on your own. Well, it starts back in 1962. 48 years ago, I walked on this campus as a freshman with the idea that I would pursue a pre-medical curriculum and go to medical school and follow in the footsteps of my physician father. However, I majored in biology, but as my father would say, I also majored in fraternity. And when I got done with 4 years, I was not academically competitive to go to medical school. And so fortunately, I was given an opportunity to pursue a master's program in physiology instead. So I went and did that, and I applied again. And again, I was turned down. And I thought, okay, God, you've closed that door. Now what do you want me to do? Fortunately, in the midst of all this, I also married my beloved wife, Barbara, who's been my soulmate now for 43 years, and who's helped me do this job as well. And so I pursued a graduate program, a doctorate in pharmacology at the University of Missouri. And we went off, and I finished that degree and then pursued postdoctoral work at Penn State University. So I'm in my second year there now, and I get a call from the University of North Dakota Medical School. It says, Jim, would you like to apply to a position to teach physiology and pharmacology for us? I was really excited because I needed a job at some point, and jobs were tough in those days. We had a 2-year-old son, and my wife was 6 months pregnant, and I thought, this is a great opportunity. And so I went home, and what I didn't tell you was, though, that this place where I pursued my master's degree was at the University of North Dakota. So I went home, I was excited, but on the way home I remembered words from my wife as we drove our car out of Grand Forks, North Dakota, heading south for Columbia, Missouri, pulling a U-Haul trailer. She said to me, I don't care where we live ever again in this world, but I don't want to live in North Dakota. Some of my enthusiasm had been dampened. You see, that was our first year of marriage. We lived in married housing. We had to plug our car in at night to keep the block from freezing. We had a whole month of January it didn't go above zero, and we had several snert storms. And for you city folks, that's a combination of snow and dirt, and mostly dirt, and about 50-mile-an-hour winds. It's a pleasant place. Great people, though. So I went home, and this takes courage, right? And so I went into her, and I said, honey, now don't get mad when I tell you this. She said, we're going to North Dakota. We did. But you know, through all of this beforehand, there was a verse that always came back to me that has been an encouragement in my life. And that was from 1 Chronicles 28:20. And it's David's admonition to Solomon when he's building the temple. And David says to him, and this is from the Living Bible version, said, be courageous and strong and get to work. Don't be frightened by the size of the task, for the Lord my God will be with you. He will not forsake you. He will see that everything is finished correctly. And so indeed we went, and God gave me this opportunity. And the interesting thing was, here I was now accepted to teach in a medical school that denied me admission as a student. You don't have to be as smart to be a faculty member as a student. I guess that's what it says. So I spent my time there in 3 years, and God opened another door to go to Southern Illinois University Medical School, where we went. It was a lot warmer there. Barb had had enough of North Dakota, so we left a second time, thinking never to return. But while we were there, I was watching the University of North Dakota Med School expand, and they needed to set up a new Department of Pharmacology, and they couldn't find anybody who wanted to live in North Dakota, I guess, and didn't like hockey as much as I did. And so I applied for the job, and the dean of the medical school took an enormous risk and hired me to take that job. I was 32 years old. I was totally unqualified to be a department chair in a medical school. I think my colleagues knew that. My peers were my former professors. They were old enough to be my father. But I went, and we had spent the next 8 years developing this department, had a great experience. And through it all, reminded again of God telling me, don't be frightened by the size of the task. And this was a big task, but God walked with me and enabled me to do things that I never thought I could have done on my own. Well, by that time, we had spent 13 years in North Dakota, and one February night, probably 20 below zero, Barb whispers in my ear and says, let's go to Pennsylvania. She'd seen an ad in Christianity Today for a vice president for academic affairs, provost position at Geneva College. I'd never heard of it. I looked it up. I found it was a Christian liberal arts college in the Reformed tradition, and it looked interesting. So, okay, I'll apply. I'll make you happy. And so I applied, and lo and behold, they offered me the job, and I never thought they would. And for some reason, I couldn't turn it down. It was a big risk at that time in my life because I was moving from the medical school environment to a liberal arts college, and I knew when I left my discipline of pharmacology, I could never go back. I was closing that door of 15 years of my life. But again, I remembered that passage from 1 Chronicles, to be courageous and strong, to not be frightened, that indeed God would finish things correctly. So off we went to Pennsylvania, and we spent 15 years at Geneva College. Much different institution than Hope, smaller institution, tired institution, and we invested our lives there in ways that God called us to do it. And he was faithful through it all. It was during that time that we had another experience of God's calling in our lives, too, while we were in Pennsylvania. Our boys are now in junior high and high school, and Barb thought it would be really neat to have a daughter, that we would go into foster care. And so we applied, and we were approved for foster care. And the very next day, we got a call, asked if we would take a high-risk infant from Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh. And so Melissa came into our lives. Melissa was 5 months old. She weighed 9 pounds. She'd been through 2 major surgeries for reconstruction of her bile ducts, which were absent at birth, and had no maternal care through that entire 5 months of living in a hospital. She spent 6 months with us. We nursed her back to health day and night, but then she was placed back with her biological parents and she left our home. Quite a traumatic time. We kept an eye on her, and a year later, it's a long story, I can't tell it all today, there's not time, but because of abuse and neglect, she was put back in our custody. And then they terminated parental rights and asked if we would adopt, and we did. I was in my early 40s already and starting it all over again really wasn't my idea of fun, but we did because Melissa needed a home. What we have discovered over the 24 years, Melissa will be 24 next month, is that the tremendous damage done, psychological and emotional damage to her because of lack of maternal care, the surgery, being bounced around, being abused, causes long-term problems. And so it's been a challenge for us, and we've had to keep reminding ourselves that indeed God is faithful and will finish things correctly. And that is our prayer for Melissa, that he will finish her life correctly too. I hope you'll pray for Melissa. She's a dear member of our family, and it's a tough struggle some days. So again, another step in our life where God was faithful to us. I must say, I used to go in when she was in school and to the parent-teacher conferences. I was quite gray at that time already, and they thought I was there for Grandparents' Day. So being an older parent sometimes wasn't easy either, and she thinks we're really old. Well, that brings me to the present. In 2002, I was happily settled, actually, in a position that I took for a short time at Grand Valley State University. I thought I would retire there. I was invited to visit the campus by President Boltman. I thought he just wanted to catch up on old days and remind me of how poorly I'd done as a student when I was here. We chit-chatted for a while, and he said, I'd like you to apply for the provost position at Hope. And I said, oh, man. I said, I haven't been there that long. I can't do that. But I did apply, and he took a chance on me, and he hired me. I'm still convinced it's because my initials are JB, and it made a big difference that we had three of us. Now there's only two, and shortly there's going to be one. So I came to Hope, and I thought, okay, now I've been in these positions where I had to build things and do things that I never was equipped to do. Now I'm coming back to my alma mater, where I'd have to face some of the retired faculty who knew me as a student, and I'd hope they'd forgotten. But I wanted to come. Hope was a tremendous place. It was strong academically, spiritually. All I wanted to do was come and make a difference and not mess it up, because that would be the worst thing. And so I came to Hope, and it's been a tremendous 8 years for me to be able to serve this community, to work with the faculty, to enjoy you as students, to go to performances, and to see the life of this place that you know is special. Well, what does this all mean for you? You know, I share this again. It's not about me that I did all these great things. I never could have been able to do it without God's faithfulness and being reminded of that passage from 1 Chronicles 28:20. When you leave this place, you're going to go out and face many challenges in your lives. You're going to be asked to take risks to do things that maybe you wouldn't do normally. And I encourage you to do that. It's your faith that will give you courage and strength to do it. And I'm confident that God will be faithful to you if you honor him. And now, as I end my official duties for Hope College very shortly at the end of June, it's my prayer for Hope, that Hope College will always be faithful to its mission. That mission to educate students for lives of leadership and service in this global society that we live in, and to do it in always in the context of the historic Christian faith. That is the key. In many respects, what we do is countercultural, but that's why we need to remain faithful, because God will be faithful to us. And I pray, too, that as you go out, that you would live the words of Micah 6, verse 8, that indeed that you would act justly, that you would love mercy, and that you would walk humbly with your God. If you do that, I'm confident that God will walk side by side with you, and it won't be easy. There will be tough times in all of your lives. Many of you have experienced it already. All I can say as I close that Hope is a special place in my life. I never thought to be here. I am eternally grateful for it. I want to thank my faculty and you students and all of you and our staff who are here. It's a couple guys in the back, Jack and Brian, who take care of this place and keep it looking beautiful, which I appreciate greatly. But I just wanted you to know that no matter where you go and whatever you do, I simply pray that you will remember this verse and that you will be courageous and strong and that you'll get to work. You won't be frightened by any task that's put in front of you, because indeed God will be faithful. He will not forsake you, and he will see that whatever you do is finished correctly. I look forward to seeing you seniors at commencement. It's a great time for you. I pray that God will bless you richly. I'm going to close in prayer, and when I finish in prayer, I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to sing two verses of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, and then you can be dismissed in peace. So please join me. Gracious Father, I thank you that you are a faithful God, that you are a mighty fortress, that you enable us to be courageous and strong, to not be frightened by what comes in our path during our lives. So I pray for each one here that you would honor their faithfulness to you, to honor the faithfulness of this institution for decades to come. And now we lift up this hymn as a Almighty God, that we honor and praise you today. In your name we pray. Amen.